The date is January 6, 1998. The interviewer is Viltuta Paprotta. The place of the interview is the home of Gertrude Maggard in San Luis Obispo, California. Gertrude, would you please state your full name?
My full name is Gertrude Maggard.
How long did you stay at the settlement school?
I stayed there 6 years, from 1923 to 1929, when I graduated from high school.
Did you board?
Yes. They had, at that time, around close to 100 students. We didn't have good roads, and it was just very difficult for one to try to walk through the muddy roads in the winter time.
What was the name of the buildings you lived in?
Well, I lived in all except Little Girl's house. That means I lived in Orchard House, First Hillside, Orchard House, Practice Home, Hospital, back to Orchard House.
Can you tell me anything about the living arrangements there?
Usually there would be from four girls in a room, and when we were in the dormitory in Orchard House, there were double-decker beds. I think we always had single rooms. I don't remember sharing a bed with anyone else. And we would have the double-deckers, or either just the two cots if it were only two in a room. We would have a washstand and a pitcher up for water and a bowl and one closet. And I don't remember about chest, whether we had chest in our room or not, for our underwear and holes and such.
What rules were you expected to follow?
I think that we were just to follow rules of decency. Each had room work assignments, and we each were to perform our duties and whatever we were assigned to do. And we were to get permission if we wanted to go uptown. And we just had certain times that we would be allowed to go visit our family. I think it was about twice each semester that we could go, maybe a Friday after school, and then we would return Sunday by a certain time. And we were to be, of course, courteous to our teachers and all get along with each other and also be nice to our house mothers.
How did you learn about the settlement?
Well, I lived in Leburn, and I think everybody in our area, and I guess in most of the county, knew about the settlement and Miss Stone.
Did other members of your family attend?
No.
Are there any classes that stand out in your mind?
None special. Yes, many of them were very interesting.
Who were your favorite teachers, and what did you like about them?
Well, I don't really have a favorite teacher either. They were all very nice.
Were you involved in any school activities?
Yes, we had activities at the settlement. We didn't have school activities like they have now, such as the basketball and the choir and glee club and all different sports like that. We just didn't have them at that time. Yeah, there was basketball, but I don't remember being specifically involved. And the basketball court was... I just don't remember basketball, I think.
But you had other activities, right? Like
there were, we had nice activities in the settlement. As I say, they were mainly just for settlement students. When I was in at Hillside, our house mother was named Miss Foster, and she had a campfire girl group. I went to it a time or two, but I didn't care for it because that was on Friday evenings, and on Friday evenings sometimes they would have folk dancing at the kindergarten building, and I loved the folk dancing, especially Virginia Reel. So I would prefer to go to that, and we were allowed to make our choice. I don't know of any other special act. Oh yes, when I was down at Orchard House in high school, we had what they called Christian Endeavor. It was a program that we had Sunday evenings after our evening meal. It was not non-denominational, but still of a religious nature. It was very nice. And there was usually one faculty member who led us.
Did you do any work for the settlement?
We all worked. The minimum hours that we worked each day were 2 hours.
And what did you do?
Well, we had lots of different assignments. I think one of my first ones was to work over at the high school cleaning, sort of janitorial work, cleaning rooms and such. And some of the other assignments were, we did the laundry in the laundry room, and we might work in the dining room doing setting tables and cleaning up and keeping the beautiful, beautiful tables in order. And some of the other places. Well, in the dormitory rooms, we also would work. We would keep things neat and orderly, and see that there was water put in the pitchers in our own individual rooms.
Did you have
laundry room? And I might have mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. So there were just anything that was needed to be done. We girls didn't do any of that. The yard, the farming and garden work.
Did you do any kitchen work?
Kitchen work, I didn't, I don't think we students did too much. We did some, but I don't recall.
What do you remember about Miss Watts, Miss Furman, and Miss Burns, or Miss Cobb?
There were two things that were outstanding to me about Miss Watts. One was how she and the Eastover boys would come to each of the dormitories on Christmas Eve and sing Christmas carols. They were old English carols mainly, and it just sounded so wonderful. It was just so thrilling to hear them. Another thing I remember about Miss Watts was Sunday school. I went to the Baptist church, and she taught Sunday school at the Baptist church, and she would have us to memorize Bible verses or portions of the Bible of a very interesting nature, and I've been very, very grateful to learning those, because they've kept me over many, many, many periods throughout my lifetime. I remember also that when she had returned from visiting her family in the East one summer, she came back and presented me with a necklace. I think there were some mother of pearl stones in it. It was a beautiful necklace, and I was so thrilled. I kept that thing for years and years.
How about Miss Burns?
Miss Burns, she was a little girl's house mother, and of course I didn't go to stay at the little girl's house, but I did help one year before school started, assist her in getting the rooms ready for the girls, and something that impressed me very much was her devotion to seeing that the rooms were all in excellent order for the girls, and I'm sure she welcomed them mm-hmm. in a very nice manner.
Did you know Miss Furman?
No, I didn't.
And Miss Cobb?
Yeah, Miss Cobb taught Latin. I didn't like Latin, but I have no other special remembrances.
How about your house mothers?
Well,
how did you feel about
I'll start that? First with my first house mother, who was Miss Foster. She would sometimes read to us girls after we'd gone to bed. They could open the girl to the door to the bedroom, and all four of us girls could hear her reading, and I think that was very, very nice. She was a very kind lady. on Saturday evening sometimes she would take us uptown and buy us each a cone of ice cream. That was a big treat because we didn't have anything special to do Saturday evenings. One of the most outstanding things I think that I learned from her was that some Saturday afternoons she would invite any of us girls who wished to come to the big hall in big hall up in Hillside, yeah. And she would play classical music on the Victrola. And that was my introduction to classical music, and I've loved it ever since, and I wish later I could have gotten in contact with her to tell her just what that had meant to me.
Were there other house mothers that you liked very much?
I liked all of them. Miss Elkin was a dietitian and also house mother of us girls at Orchard House. More of the girls stayed there than any place else. We had more dormitory rooms. When I worked in the dining room, I learned quite a few things from her. I learned about the care for the table and tables, and those dining room tables were so wonderful. They were, I think, dark walnut with a black lacquer, and they were always kept in such fine condition, and it just did me good to help keep those tables in good order, and about flowers for the tables and placemats and tablecloths and all those things were just things I enjoyed very much. So I learned a lot from myself, and she was a nice house mother too. And she was in charge of us, of course, when we would have our study hour at night. We'd have 1 hour after dinner when we'd all sit around in the, this was an Orchard House, in the around the tables in the big family room and do our homework.
Another house mother?
I did stay at practice home one year when I stayed there. Miss Van Meter was our house mother. That's what they call them all, house mother. And she was great. She played the piano sometimes. She was such a jolly person, always happy. And she was nice to us girls, and we lived as a family there.
Can you repeat her name, please?
But let's see now. Another one that was outstanding for me was Miss Bond, Melissa Bond. She was the nurse up at the hospital, and the year I stayed there, I was to assist her in whatever chores I needed to do. I recall one year we had an outbreak of undulate fever, which was from the milk from the cows, diseased cows, and we had several in the hospital there, and I was quite busy in my off hours helping do things, and I would sterilize all the vessels that they used for eating and such, and it so happened that one fellow was so ill that he deceased, and that was quite an experience. But anyway, Miss Bond stood out as a very outstanding, outgoing person, and I loved her very much.
Did you do any farm work?
The girls didn't do any farm work, no. The boys did all of that.
And how about craft making, baskets or weaving? Did you participate?
We students didn't participate in crafts. That was really done. Those were really done by people outside of the settlement. We did have weaving. Jethro Amberger's wife, Rainey, I believe her name was, taught weaving, and I learned about carding and spinning and weaving. I wove two area rugs and a pair of draperies, which I thought were nice. And one little point I'll mention about those, when I went to stay in the dormitory at Lee's Junior College, I had them at my window, and our room was on the second floor, and Dr. Van Meter, in passing by, saw my draperies, and he asked me about them. He thought they were beautiful. So I believe that would be the extent.
Do you have memories of other people than teachers, like cooks, groundspeople, or office workers?
I think I've gone into those pretty much, the house mothers.
No, but these are different. Cook, was there a cook, a special cook, or?
No special.
Or office workers?
No, I really don't. I remember some of us girls would stay, work in the kitchen on Sundays. A few of us would be selected from Orchard House to make sandwiches for Sunday evening. Sunday evenings, we didn't sit at the tables. Chairs were lined up. Tables were moved back and chairs were lined up and down the dining room. And we were served punch and sandwiches. So some of us would stay from Sunday school not more than once a month or so and make sandwiches. So I really don't remember working much in the kitchen. I'm sure I did though.
Fine. Do you remember anything about your Christmas and graduation ceremonies?
Oh, Christmas was really something. We weren't allowed to go home for Christmas until Christmas morning after we got our stockings. First, nice friends off the settlement, mainly from up in the east, would purchase and send down gifts for the students, knowing that many of us didn't receive very much from our families Christmas because we were in a rather poverty-stricken area with little contact with the outside world and not many jobs. So after breakfast Christmas morning, we would all go up to Hillside House. And in the large hall up there, they'd had shelves, and on the shelves were gifts. Each one gift shelf section was labeled with our gifts. The one that's most outstanding to me was a doll, a porcelain head and hands and feet, and it was beautifully dressed with beautiful hair. And in addition to being beautifully dressed, there were extra clothes for it. Also, they were immaculately constructed. And I kept that doll until not too long ago.
How about graduation?
When I first went there and in other years, as I would attend graduation exercises, each class member, of course there were only a few members off each class, would give a special talk. I don't remember what the subjects had to be. It maybe their plans for the future or such. And I just thought that I would never be able to do that when I was a senior and have to get up there and stand in front of the group in the auditorium by myself. So I don't know how it happened, but anyway, I guess we decided we wanted it and it was okay. Maria Stewart and I did a dialogue together, and we talked about school, what it meant to us, and also each gave the prediction of what would happen to the other professionally. I got through it.
Do you have special memories of the settlement school, other than what you have already told us?
Well, there are lots of good memories of the settlement. Going back to recreation, I think I talked a little bit about our recreation, something that we would enjoy doing. Of course, we had lots of hillsides and roads in the summer where we could take walks. So if a group of us could find a chaperone, we would take a walk Sunday afternoons, and I enjoyed those an awful lot. Of course, Sunday afternoons, there was what they call quiet hour. A bell rang, and everyone was to be in his or her room and be quiet for an hour. So when we took the... I never felt the need to be quiet, I think. And so it was great that we would get to take those nice walks in the mountains or either by the roadside.
Could you tell us what the town was like?
Well, the town was small. leading to the town, even from the kindergarten building up where the library stands now, there was a boardwalk leading from there all the way to uptown. That way then, when the roads were bad, well, there was a nice walk. And at the corner, first corner of, at the left when you got into town, was Lige Hicks' general store, department store. Then we had the barber shop and the dentist and the bank. I think they were mostly joining each other. And across the street was the Bailey Hotel. It was used mainly when they would have court sessions at Hindman, and I imagine they had a restaurant there also where they could eat as well as sleep. And I don't remember about an eating place. There must have been some little restaurant of some kind at Hindman. I'm sure there must have been, but I don't recall. Then there was the, I think I mentioned about all, there were the two churches at the end of the town. I imagine the town was the equivalent of a block or two. The Baptist Church and the Methodist Church, and they are in the vicinity still today. And, oh yeah, I didn't mention the doctor's offices. There was Dr. Duke and Dr. Kelly, so we had two doctors. And I hope I didn't leave something important out.
Did you have a dentist?
Did I ever what?
Did you have a dentist in town?
Yeah, I thought I mentioned the dentist. I'm sorry if I didn't. Yeah, we had a dentist.
What sorts of things were there to do in town?
There just weren't any activities that I know of in town. Court day was, election day was one big event, and a lot of the boys would get drunk, and election was something. But we didn't go to town on election day. But I think I was there once, maybe after I was out of school and teaching. But the court day was the big day, and I don't think we ever went down during court, the first court day. Maybe it was just one day, I don't know. But anyway, oh, more people came from around the county. I'm glad to say that my family and my relatives just didn't go to court day unless they were on the jury or something like that. But so many people did go. A bunch of the men would bring their old plug horses and around under Lige Hicks' store down where the creek was, they would ride them up and down and get all the strength they could out of them and trade. And of course they were drinking, and they had their spurs, and the poor mules or horses just had to do the best they could. And other people would just parade about, and as I said, some probably would drink, I don't know, but it was the big thing. A lot of the girls would come and parade up and down, I guess probably looking for some fellas. There just weren't social activities, no theater, or special activities at all for the townspeople. But we were fortunate in the settlement that we did have our own activities.
Did you have a best friend or best friends?
No, I think we were all so close together that we were just friends with each other. I may have, in certain dormitories, had someone special, but no one really is outstanding to me. We were all really friendly and chummy with each other.
And what did you do together?
What did we do together?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I mentioned some of the things that we did. We would, let's see, I don't know. We were just, I guess, busy with our studies and our work and at Orchard House they had a swing out front, and a lot of the girls would swing, and maybe we'd have song fest where we would sing, and just things that you would probably do at your own home.
Did you see any changes in the school from when you started to when you graduated?
No, changes hadn't started taking place. The changes came when the roads came. And then they started getting the consolidated school and then school buses and all. But the things had stayed really the same the 6 years that I was there. I think we got more water in some of the buildings than we'd had previously.
Could you talk about the impact of the settlement school on your life?
Well, it was a great impact on my life. I've been so, so grateful for the settlement school. We were inspired to look ahead and to get a better education. And I especially had that feeling. I didn't want to settle down in the mountains at first. I had that feeling that I wanted to see what was on the other side of the mountains. And of course, I think the teachers, some of them inspired us to want to widen our horizons. The settlement was just a great influence and a wonderful, wonderful thing.
And can you recall anything specific, why settlement really, you know, or how settlement school really developed you in what direction? You mentioned...
Yes.
Some of
Miss Elkin, I think, was a great influence to me. Now, of course, she wasn't a favorite of some, but I guess because I was interested in all the beautiful things, such as the dining room, various things, and the flowers, and many things like that, and also the home economics teachers. None of them stand out especially, but they were a great influence on me, and I realized then that I wanted to be a home economist. And I stuck to it, and any time I would try to deviate from being a home economist, I was not successful, but I was successful in my career in that field.
How was the impact of the settlement school on the community?
One of the things that stands out to me is that we had such beautiful lawns at the settlement. Everything was just so clean. There was never any mess, no paper strewn, no garbage thrown out or anything. But out in the county, many of the people just dumped all their garbage outside the yard. And they just figured if it's outside, forget about it. I remember one of our teachers, he was a local man from Emmalina, John Mark. Morgan, I think it was John Morgan, and at one of the classes he just happened to bring up the subject about the influence of the settlement in the community in the beauty. He said as one would travel about the county and see a beautiful yard and the surroundings very well kept and all, that the family there was usually a graduate, one of the family members a graduate of the settlement school. So I think that making things more beautiful really was a big influence. And there were many ways that it influenced the community.
How about the economic development of the community? Because the community was so impoverished, did the settlement school do anything to help the people?
Yes. Most, you know, we were rather isolated, not having roads. And there weren't opportunities for jobs. So many of the people developed crafts, and it was so nice that Miss Stone and probably assistants found markets for their crafts. Weaving is one that I'm aware of that my friend Alma was telling about their family weaving. They made beautiful coverlets and various items, and they got a market for them. And people would sell eggs to the settlement, and they would make baskets. I remember learning how to do a basket. I don't remember whether I learned it in the settlement or not. And they would sell those, and people would make chairs and cane chairs. I imagine they made things for the settlement as well as for outside markets. So those people got money, much needed money. And then also people would sell produce to the settlement, because they had the farms, and the Doc Pratt, I believe his first name was Doc Pratt, managed the farms, and I imagine he had some help, and they got employment, and of course he was able to educate his children. And
you're so talking about the farms of the settlement, right? Talking about the farms of the settlement, right?
Yeah, the settlement had its own farm. Mm-hmm. And they grew quite a bit of the produce and the flowers. And, oh, I remember the flowers lining the walk from the high school and kindergarten over to where the dormitories were. Let's see, that was pianos, beautiful pianos in the spring around graduation time. And I think the girls would sometimes carry pianos when they graduated. So it was quite an impact on the whole county in many respects.
Is there anything?
And I might add that it still is an impact in a different way on the county.
Is there anything that you feel that would be important to report?
No, let's see. I need to go back and tell about the town, I guess. This was very important to me. It was a custom in that area, and I don't know what country it came from, that around Christmas time, the Christmas morning before Christmas, they would shoot firecrackers. And I mentioned no activities uptown. And there were some boys, well, there was one ringleader, Craig Bailey, and they would shoot firecrackers, and it just didn't seem to be safe to walk on the streets, because they just throw them at, you know, across the sidewalk where you would be walking. So that wasn't very good. And then the sad thing that happened was, I think Craig would be considered the leader of the gang today, but anyway, he was a leader of some of the other boys. And I don't know what they got to doing, but they did, I guess it was in the classrooms or outside of the school or what, but they acted up so that the settlement just had to close the school. And of course the school was financed by the settlement mostly, and maybe some by the county. And they had to close the school. I think this must have happened sometime in April, and it didn't open until the first of, until the fall school year, so all the students went home. Most all of them. I remember hearing about one boy being reprimanded very much by his father, and that was Mr. Perkins. And Carl Perkins was a boy. Of course, he wasn't the leader, but he was one of the boys who participated. And I heard that his father disciplined him very much. His father was a lawyer, and I imagine a leader, and his mother was a well-educated woman, wanting to bring her children up well. So I think everyone knows about Carl Perkins and the contributions he made to the county when he was in Congress, and all the vocational schools that he gets the credit for getting established. So children who didn't want to go on to college, or maybe in high school didn't learn so well, while they could go to the vocational school and learn the trade. That's much way I'm not through.
Go on.
I want to mention Decoy. Miss Stone, and I imagine, of course, she had help. They decided to establish a school in Decoy, and it was a very isolated place to have a school. They had put up a dormitory-like building in a beautiful setting, slightly up on a hill overlooking lovely forest. And they had that one large dormitory, one large family room on the first floor and a dining room, kitchen and pantry. And on the second floor was the a nice room for the house mother, and then I believe about three small, very small rooms for the teachers. There were two teachers, and then they put up the school building, which had three nice rooms. It was a very nice school building. They had two teachers there. I happened to teach there from 1929 for three years. I'd gone to school, 1930 or 31. I had gone to school and taken teacher training courses at that time. You didn't have to be a college graduate to get a certificate. You just had to go to college and take courses in the fundamental subjects to know how to teach and to be knowledgeable about those subjects. So anyway, I taught there for 3 years, and I think that place was a great influence on the people. I know one of the students that's Smith, Almo Smith, mentioned that he was inspired, and many of the others were inspired to go on to high school on account of the teacher's influence there. He had gone, and also his aunt, Frankie, had gone, and I think she and her husband were associated with the settlement later. So that was a big influence on not only that area, but I guess it helped out the whole county in various ways. To get to this school, one could go up Ball, across the mountain, and then down, I don't remember the name of the park, Elm Park or something like that. A little pass following the creek, you could ride horseback and go into the little school. Another route that we took sometimes would be to have a car take us up Buckhorn as far as a car could go, and then we walk up the rest of the way of Buckhorn across a mountain, a wooded mountain, and then down through Mr. Stacy's cornfield. And we landed there almost at the school. The way wagons would go in would be down at Quicksand. They could in Breathitt County, they could go down there and then take a wagon up to take supplies and various things to the car. Is that all?